What if I could teach them how to sell to people with money? Real money. So I decided to reinvent the company.
Gentlemen,
welcome to
Stratton Oakmont.
You schnooks will now be targeting the wealthiest 1% of Americans. Talking about whales here. And with this script, which is now your new harpoon, I'm gonna teach each and every one of you to be Captain Ahab.
That's a clip from the Martin Scorsese movie, The Wolf of Wall Street. It's one of the films mentioned in the logline for Matteo Escarapore's debut novel, Black Buck. The book is described as The Wolf of Wall Street meets Sorry to Bother You meets Fight Club. Black Buck focuses on a young black man named Darren Vender. He quits his Starbucks job to join New York City's hottest tech startup, Someone. Darren is the only black person in the company, and after a grueling first week of training, he reinvents himself as Buck, a tough-as-nails salesman. We caught up with Matteo at his home in Brooklyn to talk about Black Buck and why he was inspired by The Wolf of Wall Street.
I would put it in the pantheon of classic sales movies, right? You have Wall Street, of course, with Gordon Gekko, Greed is Good. Anyone who knows sales and those types of movies knows that. Glengarry, Glenn Ross, Always Be Closing. The Pink Slips, Coffee's for Closers, Boiler Room, even Death of a Salesman, right? The play. Those, in my mind, are the premier salesman. There's also a documentary called Salesman about Bible salesmen from like 1969 or back then. So taking stock of those films and the fact that I liked them, right? Even though what Black Buck is doing is in some ways redefining them or even tearing down what they symbolize, I liked those movies. So Wolf of Wall Street, there's a lot of pros and cons to it, but the energy that was in that movie, as well as how much sales was embedded in Jordan Belfort's identity. It was his identity. I wanted that to also translate into the book so that people who are familiar with those classic sales movies, plays, and books would be able to look at Black Buck and say, this deserves its space alongside these other movies, right? And it's also completely different, not just because he's a black man, but also because it takes place in the world of tech startups, in this 21st century model of sales, which is so different compared to those other types. So I definitely did take some inspiration from Wolf of Wall Street, Fight Club, and literally dozens of other types of art.
A few years back, you had a pile of rejection letters, you didn't have an agent, and you've said that you were as close to creative rock bottom as you've ever been. How were you able to turn things around?
You know, I was misguided. That was one of my main goals, to gain representation and then become published rather than just writing a book that felt true. I got out of that hole with the help of reading On Writing by Stephen King. And it's funny, whenever I mention this, I also mention that it's cliche, just because a lot of people, I think, mention the fact that they wrote On Writing and it helped them in a way, but for good reason, right? Stephen King is a master of craft and a master of what he does. And when I read On Writing, a few things stood out to me. One was that he said, hey, I just write all of these books by getting my characters into scenarios and then figuring out how to get them out of it through hundreds of pages, or maybe not even getting them out of it. I said, huh, that's simple. Maybe I'm overcomplicating this. Secondly, he said, the best way to become a better writer is to write more and read more. I said, you know what? That's also simple enough. So I took those two pieces of advice while also understanding for him as a person that writing was just such a core tenet of his identity, in the same way that I'm talking about Wolf of Wall Street and all those salespeople, right? How sales was a core part of their identity, that I had to integrate it as myself. I couldn't come to the page lightly, something also that he says. And I wasn't going to come to this career, this pursuit lightly and fumble around saying, I don't really feel like a writer yet. I'm never going to call myself a writer. I'll call myself a writer after my book comes out. I said, you know what? I'm going all in, more than before, and hopefully it pays off, because I know that beyond feeling as though I had at least an inkling of talent, I did believe that I had at least an inkling. I knew that whether I did or not, I was going to work extremely hard and that would serve me well.
Yeah, but I read also that while reading Stephen King's On Writing, you realized, and you kind of touched on it there, you realized that you'd been avoiding writing about the themes that were closest to your life, race, sales, and startups. Why do you think you were avoiding those themes?
Subconsciously, I don't think that I was ready to engage with them yet. I don't think that I knew who I was at that point in my life yet. I had known various iterations of myself in the past, especially when I was working on a startup, right? I knew who I was somewhat when I was in college. I knew who I was, again, somewhat when I was in high school. But at that inflection point in my life, after I'd left the world of sales and startups, which was such a core, again, a core, well, this is the theme, right? The core part of my identity. I had done some traveling. I still needed to better understand who I was at that point in time, irrespective of who I had been in the past and who I wanted to be in the future. And it was at that point that I have more clarity around myself, around my own experiences in the world of sales and startups, and around what it means to be Black in America at this point in my life. Because I remember what it felt like when I was younger. I remember what it felt like in college. I remember what it felt like, or the cognitive dissonance that I experienced while working at a startup. But I had to gain a better handle of what it meant at that point in my life. And it was just a confluence of multiple things, and also feeling the freedom that came out of that creative rock bottom of like, I'm going to write a book that feels true to me. I'm going to write a book that I believe will actually help people that have experienced some things that I've experienced, whether personally and professionally. And hopefully this will lead to an agent representation, but those are not my main priorities.
Mm-hmm. Why did you want to tackle the world of sales?
The aim wasn't really to tackle the world of sales. It was more so to comment on various manifestation of white supremacy and systemic racism. And for me, sales was just the tool that was most readily available to me due to my experience. If this were high school, I would have written about soccer because I was the soccer player and I had experienced racist things, you know, while playing soccer and where I was the only Black kid on this team. I don't think that I was intentionally trying to even condemn the world of sales or even vilify institutional racism, which I completely abhor, and it goes against, you know, every fiber of my being. But I more so wanted just to present a certain reality and certain things that transpire and let people make their own judgments. Because Doug, and again, I think you'll be with me on this, there are going to be some people, and there probably have been some people, who read this book and say, I don't think Clyde did anything wrong. I actually agree with a lot of what Clyde said. I don't like affirmative action. I don't like discussions of racism, right? Even though, of course, 9/11, never forget, right? Holocaust, not never again, right? And of course, we need to remember all of these tragedies. But it does feel like when it comes to the Black experience, some people are like, yo, get over it, right? And this is just me paraphrasing other things that I've heard from people. So yeah, man, sales was just readily available. And I thought that it was also very fertile ground for a lot of insanity to take place.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about your experience in the world of startups and how you drew on that experience in writing Black Buck?
I'm happy you asked this. I was in the world of startups. I was extremely deep. I was extremely deep in the world of startups. It was my life. I was inseparable from the startup I was working at, and it felt like it was inseparable from me. You know, I gave all of my energy for, at times, 16, 17 hours a day, at times 12, you know, at the minimum, 10 a day. But for most of the time that I was in sales, I was at the top. I was a leader, a sales leader. I had dozens, if not more, people looking to me for advice, for help, for guidance. And while I definitely saw certain things, I was like, yeah, that's definitely not right regarding a variety of things. I didn't have people on their daily subjecting me to things that Darren was subjected to. But I have experienced the things Darren had experienced regarding race, regarding discrimination outside of the workplace in very extreme ways when I was younger. Things that people would be like, yo, you're making this up. So I translated a lot of that into the workplace because I know how it feels to be the only one. And I know that other people who are of a minority background, whether it's regarding race, gender expression, sexual orientation, religion, in the workplace can feel that these almost innocuous slights that are rooted in racism and discrimination are actually the size of the Grand Canyon. So I wanted the book to feel that way as well. There's a certain hyperbole that doesn't feel hyperbolic for many of us that have experienced it.
Yeah, very well said. Do you consider Black Buck to be a satire?
It's hard, man. You know, when I started out writing Black Buck, I didn't consider it a satire. And then after, you know, my agent and I were pitching it, you know, people were calling it satire. And at first I pushed back. And then I better understood what satire is and how earnest and sincere satire can actually be, and how it is the intersection of tragedy and humor, right? To be able to reveal reality. But yeah, I don't know. I hesitate to put Black Buck in a box just because I don't like to be boxed in. But I will say that it heavily features satirical elements, definitely. It also, you know, features elements of a tragedy. It features elements of a romance, of a comedy. It has all of this rolled into it, man. And it's just something that hopefully isn't easily placed into a box, because what it is always shifting from one page to the other. That's my hope.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of reading it, I think, and the entertainment and enlightenment you get from reading it. Some readers might consider Black Buck to be a cautionary tale. Do you?
I do, yeah. It's definitely a cautionary tale in what happens when, I don't even want to say blindly, because Buck going into didn't like blindly submit. But what happens sometimes when you just follow white men, right? Like into the breach, you know, and just like, yo, like, if you don't know what you're doing, you could get got, you know, as we'd say. So that's a cautionary tale. Giving your whole self to something so quickly is a recipe for disaster sometimes, as is for Buck. Not respecting the, I don't want to say plea, but the opinions of people who love you unconditionally, red flag. When you start to do that, right? Like with your parents, your closest friends, red flag, and bad things will happen. I mean, it happened to me in a certain way. It's not even so much as a happening, but it's like I became someone who I wasn't proud of. And I had to work through that and work beyond it. And it's something that I'm still doing now every day.
Mm-hmm. So throughout the book, you include excerpts from a How to Sell book that your protagonist, Darren, has written. Why did you want to do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole book was written by Darren. It's just so weird to say that. I did that because I wanted this book to function as a how-to as well, so that anyone who reads this book and pays close attention to it will be able to walk away with at least some proficiency in sales and what it means to sell, and understanding that sales is just a tentacle of the organism that is life, right? And it's not this random thing that's happening, but it is a part of the world that we live in, and it's very real, and it's a very real manifestation of it. And I also did it because I wanted to help people. And again, going back to my first point, I believe, and maybe this is too bold, but that if someone is reading this book, they pay very close attention and they look at these reader notes, they will be able to at least walk into an interview for an entry-level sales role, like a cold caller or like these sales development representatives in the book, and have a leg up in getting that. And hopefully, right, in a place like New York or San Francisco, you're walking away, or you're earning a $65,000, $70,000 salary, so that you can better yourselves and your community, especially for Black and brown people who read the book. So that was the intention. And when I was coming into the world of sales, Doug, I was given by one of the co-founders at the startup that I worked at, I was given these two sales books called The Little Red Book of Selling and The Sales Bible by a guy named Jeffrey Gittimer. And I loved those books. I loved them so much. I loved the way that Jeffrey wrote, and they just really resonated. So I said, this, I think, would be an interesting device that would keep people engaged and, you know, hopefully help them in some way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's next for you? Do you have another book you're working on or thinking about?
Yeah, so I'm always working, Doug, and whether it's essays or other books and other ideas. And yeah, all I can say is that I am definitely working on something else. And yeah, I'm tempted, especially with people that I feel comfortable, to just like divulge, but I'm learning that that's not always the best. So.
Yeah, understandable. ABC, like not only always be closing, in your case, we can say ABC stands for always be creating.
I like that. Yeah, we're going to coin that. Yes.
Absolutely. Mateo Escarapur, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time, Doug. I appreciate it.
Mateo Escarapur's debut novel is called Black Buck. Find out more about Mateo at WPR.org/beta.
We would have a script, and then we could play with it and make it alive and change it as the characters, you know, informed us as to what was happening.
Philip Proctor and David Ossman of the legendary comedy troupe Firesign Theater join us to talk about their first record in 35 years. That's coming up in just a moment. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.